Good morning, my friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to our midweek Bible study called Morning Glory. And I am so glad that you're here today with me. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I believe God will meet you and touch you right where you're at today. So let's begin today in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we study your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken it to us, that it would be spiritual food that we can consume and be strengthened with. Now, Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, my friends, we are on a journey with the Holy Spirit, and we are calling this the Glory Train. We're riding the Glory Train from now until Pentecost Sunday, 2024. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit is moving. And many people have responded to getting on this Glory Train experience. People from all over America, really from other nations of the world. And the thrust of this is that from now until Pentecost, we're going to get up every morning and we're going to spend time praying in tongues. We're going to do it for a tithe of the day. That's 2 hours and 24 minutes. Now, for myself, I get up at 4:30 in the morning, and I begin, and then I finish before 7. Now, if the sun starts coming up a little bit sooner, which it will, then I'll just back my time back to where I would begin earlier, maybe 4:15 or whatever it might be. But what we're doing is we're getting a tithe of our time in prayer by praying in tongues for 2 hours and 24 minutes, and we're doing that every morning all the way to Pentecost. This is the Glory Train. If you want to ride the Glory Train, jump on it with us. Amen. We have people that are participating from all over God's beautiful earth. Praise God. Amen. Almost said blue earth, but it's blue and got a lot of green also, doesn't it? So I'm so glad for all of those that are making this journey. And I want to talk today about many of the reasons of why you should pray in tongues and walk with God in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God forever. So if you're on this journey, let me know. Just shoot me an email, contact@stephenbrooks.org. Now, I also understand that it's very possible that somebody might see this a few days from now and might think, oh, Pastor Stephen, the Glory Train already pulled out of the station and I didn't get on it. Well, you can get on it, but you would finish later than when we're finishing. In other words, from today until Pentecost, we're about, 54 or 55 days out. And so we've started. We have begun the journey. I haven't exactly counted how many days it is. It's like 55 or 54 days, okay? So we've started today, and we're on the train now. So if you jump on the train later, you can if you want. So you would just finish then after Pentecost, however many days late you jumped on, that's how many days past Pentecost you would go. So I trust that you can do it too, because I know that many people watch from many different time zones and other places. But for those of you that make it all the way to the end, and on Pentecost, You can tell me, Pastor Stephen, I did it. I didn't miss one day. If you can do the whole thing without missing one day, I want your address. I want to send you something just on behalf of our appreciation for you and your heart for God. We'll mail something to you, okay? So, but we're doing this for many reasons of drawing closer to the Lord and some other reasons I'm going to share today. But first, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20 and 21. Before I read this, some of you are probably thinking, Pastor Stephen, that's pretty challenging. Yes, it is, isn't it? And we do live in a society now where challenge or push yourself has been almost removed from our culture. And I noticed just recently that some of the Ivy League schools that when all of the wokeism really hit, they dropped their ACT scores and tests. They said you don't have to have an SAT or an ACT. We'll take anybody, and they did that. And they're realizing now you cannot be a reputable university. You cannot be a global leader when you allow people to come in and there's no price tag. So guess what they had to do? They've gone back now on their policy and they're reinstituting, you've got to have an ACT score and you have to have an SAT score, just like we've always done, and it better be way up there or you're not getting in. That is normal, okay? So it's good to see that some of the lunacy, people are realizing, you know, we can't function like this. The world doesn't work when we have like this thing where we're giving out participation trophies and everybody gets one just because you tried. No, you only get in the Olympics, gold, silver, bronze. That's it. And sometimes you really feel for the guy that or girl that got fourth. But oftentimes the one that got fourth in the next Olympics is usually the one that ends up getting the gold because they were so agonized by that out of the medal type finish that it really motivated them to do better. But my friends, push yourself. God's grace will be there. There will be sometimes, some days when you'll be fatigued and you'll probably understand why Jesus wanted to take a nap in the boat because he went through all of that also. But go for it. Amen. And watch how God's grace will be there for you. And also push yourself. Amen. If you don't want to participate, God loves you just as much. Amen. So this is for those that want to jump into what I would call a spiritual boot camp. Get on the glory train and get on the boot camp. Because right now, seems like all over America, a lot of people are in the fitness. And there's all these summer boot camps. Come do something wild and push yourself to the extreme. But most people will never, ever spiritually push themselves. And the moment you try to say, challenge yourself spiritually, people start getting real nervous and say that's legalism. Really? How come it wasn't legalism when you stayed up all night and got drunk and gambled all night or partied all night? How come that wasn't legalism? When you pushed yourself in the flesh of how far you could go before you collapsed, why is it legalism now to pray beyond an hour? Why is it legalism to want to get up in early in prayer and challenge yourself as if you're going to go to a boot camp and the instructor's not going to challenge you? They're like, what else are we here for? Amen. Praise God. So those of you that catch that, I know you get it. Jump on the glory train, ride it with us. Watch what God will do in your life. And I believe that many of you will make it all the way to the end. And yes, I'm doing it with you. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. My friends, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Old and the New Testaments. All 66 books written by men of God, as the Holy Spirit inspired them to write God's message, the Holy Spirit was moving on all of them. That's what we have. We have the Bible, which is, Bible is a word that means the canon of Scripture, all of these books put together as one complete book. But here's something interesting. In order to rightly interpret God's Word, we need to really rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal what He meant when these men wrote these 66 books, because there are some scriptures that are very, very challenging to interpret. It's not like it's necessary to get it right because they're not salvational type issues. There are other issues maybe like with eschatology, study of the end times, or some other scriptures that just shed some light, but sometimes you wish you would shed a little bit more in certain areas. But obviously, God didn't think that was a great interest that we needed to know that much, or else He would have given more scriptures. But it's a fascinating study, but you need the Holy Spirit, or else you can end up relying on intellect alone, and the intellect is not enough. That's why I won't name it, but there was... Actually, it's the most well-used Bible translation. And today, I'm going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But with this Bible translation that is the most, it's actually the number one translation in the world, I know for a fact that the entire book of 1 Corinthians was translated from the Greek. The person they assigned the Bible Society that assigned that person to do the translation work for the book of 1 Corinthians, she was a lesbian. So, does she know Greek? Yeah, really well. But you have to be very, very careful about those things. By the way, that one translation also has the word blood missing 26 times as compared with the New King James Version and also the King James Version. The word blood, which is often, you know, used like the blood of Christ or whatever, the word blood's missing 26 times. That's what happens when you have people that are maybe real sharp intellectually, but spiritually, they're not connecting with the Holy Spirit, and so they're missing major criteria. Okay, so I want to share something now very interesting from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to say that Jesus is the originator of our own unique individual callings. Now, that calling could be ministry, it could be business, it could be sales, it could be off in the medical field or whatever it might be, but Jesus is the originator of your own unique calling. Here's a great example of that in Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles. He gave some, not all. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So, my friends, we see here that Jesus is the originator of giving out the individual callings and assignments for a person's life. But it's important that we know that it is the Holy Spirit who reveals and sets us into those callings. Wow! Wow, this is amazing. Look at this in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, and let's drop down to verse 17. From Miletus, he, that would be Paul, sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, now he's going to begin a talk of some things he's going to say, but look at something that he said in verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Wow, the Holy Spirit made them overseers. Now, Jesus is the one who is the originator of the calling, but the Holy Spirit is the one that releases the supernatural equipment that goes along with that office or with that calling. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. Woo! Praise God. Look at it even more clearly in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now watch this. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me. So the Holy Spirit said, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Woo! So you see the role here of the Holy Spirit of placing them into those slots that Jesus has destined for them to walk in. And it's the same for you. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, well, my friends, it makes a huge difference whether you send yourself or the Holy Spirit sends you. And now they're sent out into the apostolic ministry, which is what Jesus had prepared for them. But now the Holy Spirit is not only empowering them, setting them into those positions, but timing is also very important. Because before they're released into the apostolic ministry, we see them serving as teachers, some as prophets, and I'm sure some as teachers and prophets. But now the timing is very, very critical. And the Holy Spirit, we must rely upon Him for the empowering and also for the sending and also for the timing of when to go. Praise God. So it is important to realize, and I'm not sure if you've ever thought about this, but the Holy Spirit is the one who controls your destiny. Jesus has your destiny in his hand, that plan, that purpose. But the Holy Spirit has so much to do with the fulfillment of it and the walking out of it in your life. So this is what I want to merge into now. When you speak in tongues, which is the same thing as praying in the Holy Spirit, you receive understanding concerning God's plan and purpose for your life. Whether it's eventually to get over into apostolic ministry like Paul and Barnabas, where you're sent out, and the next thing you know, they're traveling all over the Middle East, or whether it's to be mainly perhaps just to stay as a prophet, or it could be that God wants you to be an astronaut, or it could be that God wants you in radio or television or whatever it might be. But the Holy Spirit, as you pray in tongues, helps you to get into that destiny that Jesus formed and planned out for you before you were even born. Mm-mm. Glory to God. Now, let's jump over to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Mm-mm. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In other words, they were believers. They were believers that Jesus is the Savior of the world. So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Now let's go now to verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So here, my friends, we see 12 men that obviously were believers and even were water baptized, but they had not yet been filled with the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So there is a distinct difference from the salvation experience where you're born again and the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you by a measure, as contrasted with after you're saved, now you can be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. That is a different experience. And when you get the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you get tongues with it. Tongues is the evidence that you got it. Praise the Lord. So it's necessary first for a believer or for a person to become a believer, be saved, be born again, before you could receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's the initial infilling. But then after that, there can also be a topping off of that with a fresh filling of the new oil. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you get saved, you can get filled with the Spirit, and then even after that, you can get another fresh infilling. Praise God. Well, my vehicle, it holds 6 quarts of oil, which is kind of normal, you know, like for a V8 engine. But I get it changed every 3,000 miles. And my friends, when I get it changed, I get all 6 quarts that are black and dirty. I get it drained out. And what if you only drained out 4 quarts, but you left 2 old quarts of that black, dirty oil in there, and then you put the fresh oil in? No. My friends, when you pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you get that oil change, where all the yucky stuff gets flushed out and you get refilled with brand new oil. You get all the sludge out, even at the bottom of the oil pan. There's a flush, there's a cleansing with the Holy Spirit infilling. Praise God. Glory to God. Now, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and let's drop down to verse 14. Here the Apostle Paul said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Now, if you're praying in tongues, you have to understand it's your spirit that's doing the praying. The Holy Spirit does not replace your spirit. In other words, it's not like the Holy Spirit is doing all the praying in you. No, what he's doing is he's giving you that utterance so that in your spirit, as you are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and communing with God, and you're going to speak that out, it comes up as the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance and you speak it out. So you pray in your spirit and then you speak it out through your mouth as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. Praise God. For if I pray in a tongue, when you pray in tongues, like here's an example of me praying in tongues. Yeshoko ba 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 sadariya. That's my spirit praying with the help of the Holy Spirit, but he's helping me. He's actually not doing it. I'm the one that's doing it. For if I pray in a tongue, so my friends, you are a spirit. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, and you live in a body. Praise God. So we develop our bodies. We can develop our minds, which is necessary. Both are good, but we must also develop the inner man. And you can do that through praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. And I want you to drop down to verse 11. And here we see that the prophet Isaiah said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest." Now, I want you to underline the word rest. "This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." Wow. So there is the speaking in other tongues that brings rest to the weary and also brings a refreshing. Mm-mm. Now, go with me back over the 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's go down to verse 21. 1 Corinthians 14, which is one of the fantastic teachings in the Bible on the subject of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, so many wonderful things in here. But look now at verse 21. "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues..." Okay, so Paul is quoting what I just read to you from the prophet from the book of Isaiah, and he says the same thing, and he says, "With men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues..." So we know for a fact, let's go back to it. We now know for a fact that what Isaiah said here in verses 11 and 12 is in reference to what we know in the New Covenant as speaking in tongues. And what did he say that it would produce? "For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, this is the refreshing." Woo! My friends, this is why you want it. This is why you need it. Tongues brings a supernatural rest, and tongues brings a supernatural refreshing. And I can't explain how it works, but I can say this, it does. And it will bring that rest and refreshing into your life that we so much need in a world where we hear about war, in a world where even if we don't really want to hear it, we sometimes hear awful things that are done, hideous things that are done to innocent people. And it's a very cruel world, but we are in it, but not of it. And my friends, even while we're in it, we can walk in rest and refreshing while the anxiety level in the world goes higher and higher because they don't have answers and solutions. Because for some of those problems, the only solution is Jesus. Woo! Mm-mm. Now, speaking in tongues causes the river of God to flow through you, bringing refreshing and rest in the Lord. And look what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Let's turn over there just for a moment. This is John, and chapter 7, verse 37. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart..." Now the heart is the spirit of man, or out of your spirit. "So out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But my friends, he has been glorified, raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and now he has been poured out. Acts chapter 2, he was poured out upon those in the upper room, and he's still being poured out upon God's people today. Amen. And so here it says that out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. My friends, when you speak in tongues, Yeshoka Babararasa, when you pray in the Spirit, Yeshoda Bararia, what happens is that living waters by the Spirit of God begin to flow out of you, and it brings rest and it brings refreshing. You can get in that river and get so peaceful and also get so happy. Amen. But so many, many things happen when you speak in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit. And I want to cover some of these things today. I find it fascinating. These are some of the benefits of praying in tongues: rest, refreshing, a river of living water flowing out of your heart, flowing out of your spirit. Also, tongues gives you unstoppable progress against the enemies that would try to work against your life. These invisible forces of evil in the dark realm, tongues gives you unstoppable progress against anything that the enemy could throw against you. Tongues builds and stimulates your faith. Why would that be? Because every time you open your mouth to speak in tongues, it takes faith to do that. Oh, wow. When I first started speaking in tongues, I was still under the influence, you could say, of being like an onion with layers of religion that were being peeled off of me. Remember, I was raised in church all my life. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we were in church. I thank God for my mom and dad took me and my brothers to church all the time. But along with that, we picked up a lot of religious tradition, not biblical tradition, religious tradition. And I heard, you know, ministers preach against tongues or preach against the supernatural, say, oh, that's of the devil and stuff like that. Stay away from it. And so when I found out that God's power was real and you could be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, I knew in my heart it was real, but my mind was still like, almost like afraid, you know, of this, based upon all of the fallacies and wrong information I had received. So the first time I ever spoke in tongues, and it was pouring out of me. It started a little slow, then it started going faster and faster and faster. My mind was like arguing with what was happening with my spirit. And my mind was saying, well, I'm still not quite sure. But my spirit was so happy, and I was talking faster and faster in tongues, that what I did, and I'm sure it's different for everybody. Everybody's in filling. Everybody's baptism experience in the Holy Spirit is different. But mine was an experience of, I'm going to override my mind to the degree that for almost 3 days, it's like all I did was speak in tongues. Why? I wanted to break that what was like an old sandcastle in my mind that was dissolving. The more I prayed in tongues, the more it dissolved until it just like got washed away by the ocean water there at the beach. And today, I can speak in tongues anytime, anywhere, any place, and it refreshes me, but it still takes faith because, you know, it's a supernatural thing. Your mind doesn't understand what you're saying, what you're praying, unless you interpret. And sometimes you'll want to do that. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory to God. So, my friends, tongues builds and stimulates your faith. Every time you pray in tongues, you're building up your faith. Praise the Lord. Tongues is praying things that have been concealed so that they may be revealed. Ooh, that's so true. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Tongues is praying things that have been concealed so that they may be revealed. Well, Pastor Stephen, why were they concealed? To hide the plan from the enemy. Praise God. tongues keeps you spiritually fit. That's why you need to pray in tongues a lot. It will keep you spiritually fit. It'll keep you from becoming like all tied up and wrapped up in this world. We're in it, but it'll keep you above it. Praise God. Tongues is strengthening your inner man with might. Tongues is the entrance into the realm of the Spirit, what we would call the glory zone. If you begin to speak in tongues, often it is a platform for the other gifts of the Spirit to begin to come forth. Mm-mm. Tongues is praying out God's plan for your life. It's praying it out. Mm-mm. One time, can you believe this? One time I was having lunch, and I was on my lunch break at work, and I was writing my book. It was my first book about mantles, and I actually wrote that before I wrote the angel book, but it was like my mantles book was kind of like a mini book. I got it self-published, but I had finished the book. The manuscript was written, and I was having my lunch one day, and I finished my lunch, and I started praying in the Spirit. And it just began to really kind of like pour out of me. I was speaking in tongues, and it kind of like was just flowing so smooth and easy that I just let it go. Kept on going for, you know, like 40 minutes. And at the end, when I had to go back to work, suddenly the interpretation came. And the Holy Spirit showed me just as clear as day, you must put into your book this chapter about this experience of what happened to you. I said, okay, yeah, you're right. I said, I totally forgot about that. I'll put it in the book. And I put it in the book, and it's almost always pastors. I don't know why, but pastors come up to me and say, you know what? That story, I really like that story in your book. And it's almost always pastors who tell me that about that one particular story. And if it were not for the Holy Spirit, I never would have put it in there. Mm-mm. Glory to God. So tongues is praying out God's plan for your life. Tongues is drawing secrets to life's complicated issues. Tongues is the believer's direct access to the throne room. Tongues is a direct line to talking to God. It's spirit to spirit. Mm-mm. Tongues is the entrance into the supernatural, which is why you want to pray in tongues a lot. Tongues is giving praise and thanksgiving unto God. Tongues lines you up with the divine will of God. Now, I can give scriptures on all of these, but if I did that, we would be here for 3 hours. So I'm just moving into some basic reasons of why you should pray in tongues. Again, tongues lines you up with the divine will of God. Tongues helps you to be God inside minded. Wow. God, not just minded about God in your mind, which is important. We have the mind of Christ, but you carry in your heart that awareness or presence of God. So tongues helps you to be God inside, in here, minded. Tongues also makes you miracle minded. You start thinking, you know, nothing's impossible with God. And it's like a vibration. If I could use that word, that might make some people nervous, but it's It's like shaking and vibrating on the inside of you, the reality that God's power is available in your life. And of course, the more you speak in tongues, miracles start breaking out. Praise God. Not only in your life, but also when you pray for people. Tongues magnifies God. Tongues enlarges your perspective of God's ability in your life. Tongues gives spiritual refreshing and rest. Tongues hones your sharpness and accuracy in the anointing. Tongues facilitates the entrance into the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues equips you for the wonders of God. Tongues is fine-tuning and sensitizing your spirit man to the voice of God. Woo! Tongues is assistance to bring your natural tongue under subjection. And my friends, out of all the ones that I'm sharing, that one to me is like gold. I want to say it again. Tongues is assistance to bring your natural tongue under subjection. When you get up early in the morning and pray in tongues, like what we're doing right now on the Glory Train, When you pray in tongues for 2 hours and you're like in a meeting or you're talking with people later in the day, and maybe it starts going into something where you know you should be quiet, but if you're in the flesh, you can't because you want to respond to it. I'm telling you what, if you've been praying in tongues, you somehow, it's so supernatural. You just have a calm to not say anything. And the whole time you don't engage, you know this is abnormal. You know that normally you would have been baited into that, pulled into that, or you would have been almost like irresistibly drawn to start talking into that and had gone off in a wrong direction. But there is something so supernatural that when you pray in tongues, it gives you like a command over your own tongue. Woo! Glory to God. Wow. Again, tongues is assistance to bring your natural tongue under subjection. Under subjection to what? To your recreated, born-again spirit man. Tongues keeps you from getting triggered. Oh, glory to God. Wow. Woo. My friends, if you don't get on the glory train, I don't know what to tell you. But I'll say this. Tongues, now not just like little 5 minutes in tongues. When you start getting out there, which is I'm trying to lead many of you into this. I'm telling you, tongues will keep you from getting triggered. And the devil knows how to pull that trigger to get a flesh reaction out of you. And many times those who have been involved in very addictive behaviors, whether it's alcoholism, drug abuse, they learn these terminologies such as getting triggered. And in other words, let's say you used to be an alcoholic you go to the restaurant and you order an iced tea and the waitress makes a mistake and filled your glass with vodka. Or, well, Pastor Stephen, that won't happen. Oh, it's wild what the devil will do sometimes to try to get you an opportunity to come back on his side. You're not going to do it, but he can do some real goofy stuff sometimes, like trying to slip in a glass of alcohol when you think you're drinking a glass of tea or something like that. You put that up to your lips, you're like, what in the world? Spit it out. But tongues keeps you from getting triggered because the normal trigger wants to cause a relapse into you. It wants you to think, oh, I'm a victim. I'm so weak. I'm giving in again. I'm telling you, tongues will keep you from getting triggered. It's almost like, well, go ahead, devil. Pull your stupid little trigger again. I'm not getting triggered. I can't get triggered anymore. I've got too much of God in me. Woo. And because God can't get triggered, neither can I. Again, I can't explain how this works. All I can tell you is that it works like you wouldn't believe. It works so supernaturally. Amen. But unless you begin to really practice this, you won't know it. Some of you, it's like in martial arts. You're about to become like a black belt ninja, ninth degree black belt in the spirit realm. If you really dive into this, you will no longer be a pushover ever again for the devil. Well, Pastor Stephen, I had a horrible nightmare, and in the nightmare, an evil spirit slapped me. My friends, you start praying in the spirit, even in your dreams, you'll grab that devil back and you'll slap him so hard you'll knock all of his silly teeth out. And you'll wake up, and the first thing you'll say, now I know for a certainty that the devil is defeated. Jesus so whipped him and wiped him out and destroyed him at Calvary, he has zero authority over me. Now, he can do what he wants to unbelievers because they're under his authority and under his domain. And he may be able to mess around with even Christians who don't know their authority in Christ, but no longer will he see you as some kind of a pawn that he can push over or give his roar and you start running. No, no, no. No, he's coming up against a more than a conqueror. So tongues keeps you from getting triggered. I mentioned some of these earlier. Tongues gives you a full oil change, not just a 30% oil change where you got a lot of the old oil, a lot of the sludge flushing around in there. No, it's a full system flush. Tongues develops intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Tongues is your private conversation with God. And yes, I have had people eavesdrop on me before and listen to my prayer life in English. But I know this, when I go off in tongues, it don't matter even if three-letter agencies are listening on me. I go off in tongues. Nobody knows but God. Nobody but God knows then. So tongues is your private conversation with God. Tongues is deep, calling unto deep. Tongues accesses revelation knowledge. Tongues taps into the mind of God. Tongues is worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Can you pray in English? Of course you can. And if you're praying in English and you're praying in accordance with God's word and God's will, in a sense, you are praying in the spirit. But if you're praying in tongues, you're 100% praying in the spirit. And if that's the case, you're praying that you're now praying the perfect will and plan of God. When we're praying in English, sometimes our prayers may be selfish based or have a wrong motive base. But you get over, start praying in the spirit, you're 100% accurate because the Holy Spirit is praying through you. You're doing the praying, but he's like this engine inside of you that's empowering you to pray, and you pray it out. And what happens, you're praying out God's perfect will. So tongues charge also your spiritual battery. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Tongues is the ignition key to walking in the power of God. Turn it on. Tongues is being clothed with power from on high. Tongues is rivers of living water flowing out of you. Tongues is drinking from the river and reservoir of God. Tongues is building your image of God in you with confidence, no longer seeing yourself as a victim or some kind of little silly pushover. No, but as more than a conqueror. Praise God. Tongues is expressing, enforcing, and declaring the will of God in your life and in the earth. Tongues is extracting answers from the indwelling Holy Spirit to solve the problems that you face in life. Tongues is praying from your spirit. Tongues is giving your spirit ascendancy and power over your flesh. Some of you, your flesh has really given you a hard time, hasn't it? It's bossed you around. Maybe you've had a whole decade where your flesh said, I'm going to rule for a decade. Well, the crown's coming off today. Oh, praise God. And it will be spirit, soul, body. Again, I think in the body of Christ, it's one of the most misquoted verses. I think the most misquoted verse is the one about, I don't know why, but so many Christians seem to know about that verse where Paul told Timothy to drink some wine because of his stomach problem. Now, of course, they don't have a stomach problem, but they get real excited about drinking that wine. If they can't remember any other verse, even if they can't remember John 3:16, they can remember that verse about Paul telling Timothy to drink a little wine. But that's a different topic. But the other scripture about how Paul quoted about how when there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that we are spirit, soul, body. But most believers quote it completely backwards. Watch them. Listen when they quote it. 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, and they'll quote it by saying body, soul, spirit. Why? Why did they do that? Why did they completely invert it? Because they're more body conscious than anything else. Second, they're more soul conscious than anything else. And finally, maybe way back at the end, they give maybe just a little attention to their spirit. But Paul said it the right way, spirit, soul, body. Praise God. Tongues is the highest form of the prayer of agreement. Tongues helps you to mortify the deeds and the evil cravings of the flesh. Woo! Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. How about a few more? Tongues is human spirit to Holy Spirit communication. And trust me, God understands everything that you're speaking and praying in the spirit. Tongues is the refilling of empty or partially empty vessels. Tongues unleashes the winds of revival and refreshing in your life. Tongues is the beginning and the maintaining of partnership and friendship with the Holy Spirit. Tongues is unlocking every closed prison door in your life. That's why I'm saying on this glory train journey, there's going to be some liberation. Some liberation. Some liberation that only God can do. Some things that are so deep that only God can get to. But those doors will be opened. Tongues is getting drunk on the new wine of the Holy Spirit. Tongues is living supernaturally in a natural world. Tongues is the beginning of being led by the Holy Spirit. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more sensitive you will be to the inner guidance, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Tongues enables a closer walk with God. Now, who wouldn't want that? If you want a closer walk with God, you need to be filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues daily, praying in the Spirit. Tongues removes you from the limitations of the flesh to God's abundant supply of the Spirit. Tongues reverses demonic assignments against you. Tongues is a brainstorming session with God. Imagine if you could sit down with Albert Einstein, sit down with Elon Musk, or sit down with maybe people that are celebrated in the earth as being men that have done some things that would be exceptional. But you have the ability to sit down and brainstorm with God concerning God's plan for your life and how you can make your life the very best life that you can live. Mm-mm. Tongues is releasing angels on heavenly assignments to change earthly situations. Now, primarily, of course, when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, you're communicating with God. But there are times that spirit language can shift and the Holy Spirit will cause you to begin to give declarations and assignments to angels, and they go out and they obey that in the Spirit. Sometimes you do it and you don't even know it. Mm-mm. Praise the Lord. Tongues is trusting and leaning upon God. Tongues is pulling treasure out of you that God placed deep within you. Tongues is the Holy Spirit searching your heart and praying through you the perfect will of God. Tongues is a door of utterance and boldness. Tongues is alignment with the assignment that God has placed over your life. Tongues synchronizes you with the timing of God. Tongues opens the scriptures to you from a revelatory perspective rather than just an intellectual standpoint. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My friends, there's more. I could give a whole bunch more, but those are just a few of the reasons of why you should speak in tongues, of why you should pray in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't yet, why don't you make it a commitment? Give it a shot to get up early tomorrow morning with us, get on the glory train, and say, Pastor Stephen, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do nothing but pray in the tongues, pray in the Spirit for 2 hours and 24 minutes. I'm going to give God a tithe of the day. Praise the Lord. And the thing here, the miracle in this is really in the consistency. If you will, see, this is what happens. People sometimes do it for 4 days and they start getting a breakthrough. They start getting a relief. In other words, that rest and refreshing starts to touch them. And then you know what they do? They say, oh, that's good enough. I'm done. Right when the Holy Spirit wants to go deeper, they pull out completely. They think, oh, I'm kind of happy now. The yucky stuff is coming off of me. Okay, you've only got initial relief. Get the full oil change. What's happening is a lot of that yucky oil is getting flushed and you're starting to get that, and the new oil is coming in on the top. But let God do the work completely. Come on, go with us all the way to Pentecost and watch what God will do in this amazing transformative process. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for everybody that's watching and carefully listening right now. I pray, Father, for grace to touch them. And I pray that tomorrow morning they would jump on the glory train. They'd make a commitment to do that. And Father God, I thank you that you're going to help them along the way. And I pray, Father God, that they break into this new realm of glory, the new realm of the fresh oil. And I thank you that you're not only going to fill them, you're going to do many unexpected things along the way. And then at the end, Then at the end, for those that make it all the way, you will touch them also in a special way. Now, Father, we thank you. We give you all of the praise. We thank you that we will all be praying in the Holy Spirit. And there will be those of us also that will be on the glory train. Now, Father, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. We're always wanting to be not just hearers, but doers of the word. That's why I present these opportunities such as this spiritual boot camp. Call it what you want. I'm calling it jump on the glory train because in many ways that's what it is. It's a ride like you've never been on before. Woo, praise God. But the thing is, I have found out the ones that really get it are the ones that ride the whole length. You let God do his work and you give him time. Mm-mm. You know what? Sometimes it takes time to get messed up. And then we want God to fix it all in a three-session series. Okay, so stay on the train and watch what he'll do when you go all the way. Praise God. Praise God. If you're watching today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know you're missing out on eternal life. So come on, jump in now and let Jesus save you right now. Okay, pray this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I repent of all of my sins. Save me now. Wash me with your precious blood, and write my name in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Step into my life and lead me and guide me from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. God has heard that prayer, and he has saved your soul. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. I would like for us to take Holy Communion. If you've never done it before, grab some unleavened bread. If you don't have one of these little wafers, looks very religious, right? It's just a little piece of unleavened bread. That's all it is. But grab a cracker. If you don't have one of these, grab a cracker and get some grape juice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the bread and the juice. We bless it and we set it apart as being holy. And we thank you that this is the body and the blood of Jesus, veiled as a divine mystery, as a kingdom mystery, veiled under the form of bread and juice. But we thank you, it's the flesh and blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the Lord's body, we thank you for grace to ride all the way and that we will start and finish strong. In Jesus' name, let's receive the Lord's flesh. Pastor Stephen, I have a demon problem. I've had a demon problem for the last 32 years. I know there's something in me that ain't right. My friend, get on the glory train. Get up every morning, pray in tongues with me, and the demon's about to have the problem. And he's about to pack his bags. Woo, because it's about to get too hot for him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Mighty cleansing power. Oh, God, we thank you. Cleansing power. Protection. We thank you, Father. We now receive the Lord's precious blood shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the Lord's blood. Praise God. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you for hanging out with me today and Just receiving the teachings of the Word of God. Now, we're getting real close to Passover. Let's see here. We're, only 5 days out from Passover. Okay, so Passover is on Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I want you to sow a Passover offering because we're told in God's Word that when the great feast take place, we are not to come empty-handed before the Lord. So either on Monday or before Monday, I want you to send the Passover offering in. Now, be faithful with your tithes. Your tithes keep the ministry running smoothly and beautifully and allow us to do amazing things. But it really is special offerings that enable us to accomplish kingdom projects. And yes, the work is being done on the land. Woo, praise God. And it has started. So the third phase of the land development work is taking place. And I tell you what, it is going to be amazing. what is going to be accomplished out there. So the guys are working, and it's a really, really good atmosphere. Praise God. So keep it in prayer.
Hello, my friends. Pastor Stephen here, and we're out on the ministry property. And I just want to say a big thank you because of your prayers and your giving, your support. We're able to move into phase three of the land development, and the guys are hard at work. And this is where the ministry headquarters and the television studio will be built. And we're expanding the pad site, taking down some extra trees, and doing a lot of other things to make the land look beautiful. I know God's hand is upon your life. I'm praying for you, and we love you, and thank you again for your support. We can't do it without you, and I thank you for your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to sow seed, and I'm praying that you receive a mighty harvest.
Your Passover giving will help us to pay for all of this work, expanding the pad site, developing, we're finally going to be able to develop the prayer altar area and build that out the way we want to. And we're going to clean up the property, get it looking really good, do the things that we need to with the putting all the substrate down for the roads and stuff like that. So thank you for your support. As I'm casting the vision before you, this is where we're going to build the brand new television studio. And this is also where the new ministry headquarters will be built. And this is also where the prayer portal will be built, where you can come and pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's very, very exciting. So thank you for your Passover offering. You can either bring it in by going to my ministry website. I'm putting that information on the screen right now. Or if you want to mail it in, praise God, you can do that too. Whatever is easiest for you, let the Holy Spirit lead you on what you should give, and that's all you're responsible for. Whatever the Holy Spirit would show you to do, simply obey Him. And sow in faith, amen. And we'll receive it here with rejoicing, and we are praying over your seed, over your offering, for the dreams that God has given you to come to pass. Phase by phase, step by step, that you get done everything God has called you to do, and you develop into the fullness of what God has called you to do. Mm-hmm. You're not called to be average ordinary. You're called to shine like a star and to be exceptional in your career field, whatever that is. God wants you to go to the top as a witness for Him, whether you're a businessman, businesswoman, or whether you work in the corporate world or whatever it might be. God wants you to be a testimony, a witness for Him, which is why He wants you to shine right where you're at, and you're going to. There's greatness that He has put in you. Praise God. Father, I pray for those that are sowing their seed. I thank you that I set my faith in agreement with them for miracles, miraculous return upon the seed that they sow. Thank you, Father God. Show them what to do. Give them the number by your Holy Spirit. And even as we have talked about your Holy Spirit today, I thank you, O God, that He is communicating with your people and impressing upon them what it is they're to do. I thank you, Father, that some have already sowed their seed. Others are in the process of doing it. Others are about to do it. Father God, if there's some that are watching that have a heart, but they don't have the seed to sow, I simply ask right now that you give them seed to sow. We thank you, Father. We base that upon your word, 2 Corinthians, or chapters 8, chapters 9. Also, you talked about giving and that you give seed to the sower. I thank you, Father God, give them a seed in their hand that they can sow. We give you praise, praise and glory and honor. Father, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so if you're getting on the glory train, because it's rolling out, woo, tomorrow morning it's rolling out. If you're getting on the glory train, let me know. Email me at contact@stephenbrooks.org, or you could do what some people are doing just there at YouTube. They're dropping comments. Hey, I'm on the glory train. Okay, cool. That's great. That way you let others know. And also at contact, email me, let me know. And I'm praying for you as well. I'm praying for everybody on the glory train. We can ride the whole thing through. Mm-mm. And you're going to make it. Say, I'm going to make it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you for joining me today. And I'll see you back again real soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.